chance, but let's use the Ramban to give ourselves a little bit of a hope to understand some of Paraduma. So the first Rashi, a very famous Rashi, Parshas Chukas. Rashi interprets the word Chukas as an irrational mitzvah. No logic can pierce it, no logic can understand it. If you learn the laws of Paraduma, you'll see it's not just illogical, but it's also a riddle wrapped within an enigma. Not only are the laws illogical, but they're counterintuitive. What do I mean? The person who officiates himself becomes Tamei. So I'm officiating to make you Torah, and I become Tamei. So it's not just that the whole ceremony is illogical, but within the illogic, it's all pretzeled up. It's all backwards. Anyway, so Rashi says, Lafi shehasatan ve'umos ha'olam monin es Yisrael. That Hashem knows that we're going to face doubt. And that doubt will be internal, the Satan, whether it's the Satan as a force to confuse you, to sow doubt and uncertainty. It's hard for the Satan to sow doubt about Kibbutz Avayim. Maybe it's hard for us to fulfill Kibbutz Avayim, but we all realize the importance of tzedakah, of not lying, of moral behavior. The Satan can't make a valid argument. It's hard to make the point of anarchy. Without Kibbutz Avayim, the world would fall into chaos. Without charity, with people lying and murdering. But the Satan can start to nibble away at your conviction by creating doubt within your heart about irrational mitzvahs. So that makes sense. Satan, or your own internal doubts. Satan doesn't have to be a force, a malach. It can also be the natural system of uncertainty that Hashem planted within every human consciousness. But Rashi also talks about the umos ha'olam, the nations of the world are going to ridicule you. What are they ridiculing you for? Again, presumably the same reason that the Satan is playing with your mind. Because it doesn't make sense. So I'm facing two different challenges to succeed at irrational mitzvahs. One is my own internal thoughts, my own religious contemplation. And there'll be people from the umos ha'olam that will say, oh, those Jews, they're performing silly rituals, silly ceremonies. There's no ration to them. There's no reason. There's no logic. The Ramban disagrees, and this is a really, really important Ramban. Maybe the Satan, he says, he doesn't really articulate this, I'm paraphrasing him, maybe the Satan will cause doubt and certainty because it's illogical, but not the umos ha'olam. The umos ha'olam are going to ridicule you for Paraduma, not because of the irrationality of Paraduma, because of an entirely different issue. It's really important to understand this. It's because the Paraduma is one of three ceremonies, I'll talk about the other two, that look like karbanos, but that take place outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Paraduma is sacrificed, read the pasuk, Zos Chukas Atara, V'ichui Lecha Paraduma, what should you do with it? Hotziosa El Michutz LaMachana. You're shechting a karban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's on Har HaMishcha, Mount of Olives. That's what the umos ha'olam are ridiculing us about. Now what's to ridicule us? What's to deride us? What's to mock us about? So to understand that, you have to go back 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 years in history. We're too far downstream in history. The world is more or less monotheistic. If you go back into the first Beis HaMikdash period, the second Beis HaMikdash period, the first part of the second Beis HaMikdash period, Persia, Mesopotamia, Mitzrayim, Ashur, all these kingdoms we read about in Tanakh, they're still paganistic. Now, what are the two primary, not the only battles, but the two primary battles against paganism that monotheism launches against paganism? One is that Hashem isn't physical. Hashem doesn't have a nose, doesn't have eyes, doesn't have a body, doesn't have anything physical. He's not physical. And that was a hard message for the nations to accept because they were very deeply, deeply entrenched in a world that saw God as physical. That's why the Medrash says that during the first Beis HaMikdash, when the Ammonim and the Moavim rampaged, because although we were overcome and conquered by Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, it was a free-for-all, it was a jailbreak. All of our enemies piggybacked on the Babylonians, the Kasdian, the Ammonim, and the Moavim, and they ran into the Beis HaMikdash, they grabbed the Kruvim, and they were parading the Kruvim in public, trying to mock the Jewish people. Like you've told us for all these years that Hashem isn't physical. You've got statues in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You've got two angels. You're bound down to angels also. This is a way of defending their territory. If they could prove they were hypocritical, then they could defend their own pagan. Oh, you Jews, you're a great message. For 400 years, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, everyone thought the Jewish people and their monotheism would conquer the world. Look, you yourselves are, you know, skimming money, yourselves, or child abuse, or whatever. It's like trying to find the, scratch a sinner, scratch a saint, you'll find a sinner. The second major, major claim of monotheism was that Hashem is separate from nature. It's a very important claim. It leads to a lot of very deep ideas about Judaism. Hashem is not part of nature. Hashem is above nature. Right? If Hashem is above nature, Ezra, he can also create a being who's above nature. What do we call that being who's above nature, who's different from nature? Man. And what does it mean to be above nature and different from nature? You have a will of your own. You're not part of nature. It debunks Spinoza. Spinoza's world, you're all part of nature, and just like nature is driven by physical forces, cause and effect, and a rock doesn't have a choice whether it can fall, it has to fall because it has gravity. You don't have a choice how you'll behave. You're driven by, then ultimately in the modern era, the drive for sex, the drive for power, the drive for a class struggle. Basically, you don't have a will of your own. You're part of some larger system that exerts its influence on you. So if Hashem is separate from nature, he can create me. So it leads to freedom of choice. And that's why paganism isn't a world of freedom, it's a world of predeterminism, because you're driven by forces beyond your control. Now, if Hashem is separate from nature, then there's also a place that he could choose to inhere his presence in nature. And that's a central place. If Hashem is part of nature, there's no differentiation between locations. He could be there, he could be there, he could be there, he could be there. But if Hashem is separate from nature, then he makes a decision. Where will my location be? Where will my Shechina, even though my presence is felt all over, where will I decide for my concentrated presence to be, right? So, for example, I chose to sit here in this seat, just by way of example, Havdil. But I think my presence is felt to one degree or another. The whole basement, you can see me, you can hear me, whatever. But this is where I sit. So if you want to talk to me more directly, you come into this corner and you sit and talk, or you sit and listen. That's the second great battle between paganism and monotheism. Is Hashem separate from nature? And one of the manifestations is, can you just sacrifice wherever you want? Or is there a specific place? The extreme version of Hashem being part of nature is called pantheism, where every single part of nature is imbued with Hashem's spirit rather than being created by Hashem. And that's why there's such a severe issur of shechut dechot. You can't sacrifice korbanos wherever you want. Pasuk in Parshas Acharemos, v'lo yizbuchot l'seira mashal p'nei hasadeh. You can't just sacrifice wherever you want, because that's paganistic. And it's reflective. It's not just, oh, many places of worship, one place of worship. It's reflective of whether Hashem is part of nature, in which case there's no difference between location. Hashem is above nature, and Hashem makes a decision. Like, I'm above this space matters. I make a decision. I'm not part of this space matters. I make a decision. What is it in this space matters? The second that the Umas HaOlam sense that we're starting to radiate outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then they're starting to mock us. Oh, you Jews, you're talking about Hashem is separate from nature? There's only one place? You can't bring sacrifices outside of the Beis HaMikdash? What about Paraduma? What about Paraduma? You yourselves are moving outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the other three aspects that the Rambam loops together that they're mocking us for is Paraduma. What are the other two korbanos, or carbon-like ceremonies that take place? The Gemara in Yom has a broader list. Achilas Chazir, Yevama, Mitzara. So the Gemara in the list in the Gemara in Yom, Samach Zayin, they're mocking us for irrationality. That's what it seems like from Rashi. But in the Ramban, they're not mocking us. They're engaged in a theological debate, and they're trying to win the debate by proving our hypocrisy. So what other korbanos take place out of the Beis HaMikdash? They look very spooky, very... And Egla Rufa. And that's the matters the Rambam quotes. There's one more that I'll say in a moment. So that's what they're scorning us about, because they have a personal agenda. They want to prove that Hashem is part of nature. And the second they sense that the Jewish people, the monotheistic nation, are starting to offer korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so all of a sudden they can win a few points. That's why both the Paraduma and the Sar Lazazel both start in the Beis HaMikdash. Just to say, it's still part of the Beis HaMikdash. Sar Lazazel, Yamat Chai, Bisagoral. And the Paraduma, the next pasuk is, even though he shechs it outside, he says, V'lakach betz bo midama, he takes the blood, V'hiza el nochach b'nei el moed. You have to see the el moed. So you're standing in Har Mishra, but you have to see. Egla Rufa is different. Egla Rufa has no connection to Yerushalayim. This is a big machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam. The Rambam feels it's not a korban. Everyone feels it's just a ceremony to raise interest, and people start talking about it, and you'll finally kill it. Oh, did you hear that a whole ceremony there? You can't plant there anymore. That's the land of the Egla Rufa. Oh, who died? So-and-so died. Who is this killer? Let's see if we can... It's a cold case. Let's see if we can open up the cold case, according to the Ramban. According to the Ramban, it's a form of a korban. Now, what's the fourth that the Ramban quotes? Strange. Again, the Gemara in Yoma has a broader list, and it sounds like for the Gemara in Yoma that it's about the irrationality of the mitzvahs. But from the Ramban, again, it's a really important Ramban, it's about the struggle, this ancient struggle. In our day, the struggle is different. In the medieval era, the struggle was whether we're still the chosen people. It wasn't about monotheism, because the world became monotheist. Islam, Christian, they're based on monotheism. So that whole victory had already been accomplished. That whole war had already been ended. By the year, Edict of Milan, when did the Roman Empire become Christian? 367? By that point, and then 6th century Islam. So by the 6th century, everything is monotheistic. So all these discussions, they're ancient, but they're important, because they're part of our legacy, that we proved monotheism to the world. We established monotheism. What's the fourth of the Ramban quote? Shatnez, kilayim. Can you wear woolen linen? That's a strange one. It's not a carbon outside of the base of Mikdash, but it's built from the same notion. If there's no overarching presence to nature, but that God is part of nature, and in nature there are different forces, light, day, lightness, darkness, day, night, fire, water, good, evil, wool, linen, water, not... So essentially, there's no one controlling, there's no ability to say you can't combine forces, because the forces are always combining. Water and fire are always combining forces. So if the gods exist within nature and every part of nature is a different god, well, nature is one big synthesis of forces. So I can just choose to take the god of wool and the god of linen and put them together, because there's no... But if Hashem is separate from nature and above nature... So we can say these are different articles that I don't want you to combine. I don't want you to combine wool and linen. But if there's a god of wool and a god of linen, so and nature is this large discombobulated mixture of all these forces, so there's no boundaries, there's no borders of what I can or can't mix. Why can't I mix the two? The whole world is God. There's a god there, there's a god there. If you land tonight in Bombay, you interview a Hindu, and they tell you there's 330 million gods, or 33 million gods. And they're all constantly in force. There's a tree that's growing by a river, and there's an ox that drinks the water. It's all chadgadja. We're all interacting with one another. So why can't I combine wool and linen? There's no holes, there's no barriers. As opposed to saying Hashem is separate from nature, and deciding where his presence should be, and not checking outside of the base of Mikdash, and separate from nature, and making a determination, which we don't really know why, that wool and linen shouldn't be combined. Those are the four of the Ramban quotes. Paraduma, Sar Lazazel, Egla Rufa, and Kilayim. So it's a whole different view. According to Rashi, they're questioning irrationality. It's hard, because their whole world was irrational. Pagan was full of irrational rites and customs. So they'd all of a sudden make fun of us. Oh, you're performing irrational mitzvahs. You're doing the same thing. You're doing the same thing in Baal or in Dagon, or the Avodah Zarahs we read about. You're doing the same irrational hocus-pocus, abracadabra, black magic. Why would they be vexing or trying to mock and scorn the Jews? According to the Ramban, it was more of an ideological debate. You speak of a God who is above nature, who has one location. Look at you. You're sacrificing outside of the base of Mikdash. And the truth is, there are checks and balances, even in the Torah, to try to make sure that we tether these karbanis to the base of Mikdash. Okay? A little bit of power boom action. Good day, everyone.